Then, where do you guys?
Busy. I've been busy. I haven't had a chance to do much lately, but I'll let the other ladies say their piece, and then I just have a question.
Okay.
Well, the trading floors really helped. I've done more studying, and it's starting to register in my spirit, and realizing that some of the things I do. I was telling Colleen earlier this week that dream interpretation can be trading. When you cast it at the Lord, He gives. Cast the dream at the Lord, He gives the interpretation back and the fruit of that dream for someone. Joseph, there are men of old who didn't even ask for the dream from the person. They asked the Lord what the dream was and then told the person, "This is the dream you had." And I think there's a whole nother level to ministering in the area of dreams. And then some things, my dad was a pastor, I was raised in the church, and there are dogmas you get into. And giving, understanding the trading has completely altered my viewpoint on giving, and I feel much less obligatory about giving.
No, I did a. I think I did a session on that on one of the Hangouts this week. Someone asked me about it. I think it was Monday, and I went into it in depth in terms of giving and teruma and tithes and offerings and how it all fits in with New Testament relationship with God. And it's interesting stuff. So yeah. So, okay. So you said you had a, where's, okay, let's do that. Okay. Anyone else want to share anything? Denise, you want to share anything?
I had a dream that I was in this huge building, and I went in. We were worshiping God, and we took a break. And I went in. I opened this door, and there was this huge room full of every instrument that was ever created, and would ever be created, and some I didn't even, I don't even, never seen before, and I. And you could go in this room and pick out any instrument and automatically be able to play it during worship. And I think it was a little hint of what goes on in heaven, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and I think there's a lot more coming in terms of our lives being an instrument of worship, and producing sounds and releasing worship that comes from our spirit, which will come in form of movement and as well as sound. Just a lot more, I think, that we're going to discover that our spirit can release once it's free and engaged. But yeah, that's an interesting picture. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you said you had a question, Colleen?
And if you did, then just let me know which one to go to. Thinking about the trading floor, since you talked about them with us, I know I'd listened to Ian's breakdown, and I've seen it written out. I know I need to work on the Jezebel one, but just wondering, and I felt like, after one session that I did, there was a little bit of a, I won't say backlash, I don't expect that either. Just a real attack on thinking, and I just wondered if it was coming from this, just raising up fears and that kind of thing. So, did you do a session on in the kingdom dealing with Jezebel or no? Do you have it recorded somewhere?
I did a session, you know, a teaching session on trading, which I did in the transformation series, and that was, you know, looking at the different trading floors, positive and negative. And I went through Jezebel there and how Jezebel operates, but it's the Jezebel spirit and the political spirit really operate together. The political spirit is a big one. The political and religious spirit. I mean, Jesus talked about the leaven of Herod and Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the leaven of Herod, which was the political spirit, and a political spirit always wants to be right, and it wants to operate through self-righteousness and control so much within the church arena, you know, and challenges new truth and tries to draw people back into arguments and stuff. A real major thing. I think there's a really good article or teaching on it, I think, on Trisha King's website on a political spirit. But the religious spirit also, you know, the Pharisaical spirit and how that keeps us in bondage and keeps us from progressing into new things, they all sort of work together. And I think Jezebel works with either of them, you know, as a way of controlling and manipulating and working through some of those things. But I also feel with the Jezebel spirit often works through relationships, through fear. And so it stops people being open and honest through fear. If they're real, then people won't want a relationship with them. And we've had a number of issues where there was just a reticence for people to be sharing really honestly and openly, because of fear of the relationships that they were in, of damaging those relationships. So they would hold things back and not share the truth or speak the truth in love, because they were fearful that those things would be taken and relationship would be broken. And Jezebel really worked through that quite powerfully here, and we really had to deal with it. And all those people involved with it, you know, went into the courts in heaven and repented and renounced it and look to deal, you know, how it would outwork. Because it's quite, you know, it's not just the overtly obvious things, it's subtle things that would just affect people's relationships and how they function in relationship, all through fear, really. You know, and I think there's a big stigma attached to the name Jezebel spirit.
Yeah.
People are afraid of owning it and just realizing, well, we're all operating it one way or another. We've all traded probably in all the trading floors one way or another. And God loves us, you know. So when we acknowledge and own it, it just enables us to become free from it. Rather than feeling guilty or condemned, we need to know that we're loved and accepted. And that's why we can, you know, confess and repent and own things so that we can be free from them. You know, the motive really is so that we don't use anything to meet any need that we have or resolve any issue that we have or deal with any hurt that we have outside of God. You know, God is our source, He's our supply. He's there to meet all our needs in Him. If we seek first the kingdom, then He promises to deal with everything else. And I think, you know, when we start to trust Him and really let go of doing things ourselves in our own strength and making sure we're in charge or in control, then we find that God's able to do amazing things. Most of the things that God can't do is because we're trying to do them.
Right.
You know, when we stop trying to do them and come into that place of rest and peace, then He can do amazing things. And we just you know, see Him do those things when we relax and when we rest in Him, rather than carrying responsibilities and weights and burdens that aren't ours. You know, Jesus said, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. And therefore, if there's any heaviness or any area where we're feeling that weight of anything, you know, other than the weight of God's glory, we don't want to feel the weight of anything else, because we know that actually Jesus said that his burden is light, so we should not be feeling weight. And I think a lot of these things operate through us, and they operate mostly through familiar spirits. And I think although there are different political, religious spirits that are sort of strong men, if you like, that in the hierarchy of spirits, they're powerful ones. The familiar things that are assigned to our lives are the things that we really have to make sure we deal with, because those are the things that trap us in the mindsets and the thought patterns and the behavior patterns that we go down when we're triggered by situations or circumstances or behavioral things that trigger us, and then we begin to find we automatically respond in certain ways because familiar spirits are involved in pushing us that way, and they push our buttons and they know how we think, and so they trap us. So dealing with familiar spirits is a really key area to be free from all behavioral issues, motivational issues, we can take them to the courts and really deal with them there, because right. They have a major influence over us otherwise.
Right. So almost I was thinking doing like a mini lie bust or something just to get which familiar spirits are operating and then go to the court from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you can use anything like that to find out, what are the things that are operating, how do they operate, what mindsets do they cause us to operate in. So definitely can do that.
Okay.
Once they're there, you can force them to unveil anything that's a legal right that they have, so that we can deal with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Okay.
In this area, you just created an eye opener. In this area, you'll see the combo of Jezebel and the spirit of Leviathan, the twisted communication that's... I always say if you walk in a room and it goes silent, the spirit of Leviathan is pretty gone. But you'll see those two. I call it the twisted combo. You'll see those two in this area in conjunction. And I always related it to groups, but from what you said, I now see there are people I know who they're excessively private, and something, something inside of you goes, something's wrong, and it's that spirit of Jezebel. That's very interesting. Thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah. No. It's one of those things that the enemy has used a lot to stop us living in a culture of honor, which means, a culture of honor really works with openness and honesty, transparency, and a willingness to deal with the problems rather than the people. If we point fingers at people, then there's defensiveness and offensiveness, but if we look at the problem, then we look to bring the light into the situation so that the problem can be resolved. And a lot of it is, there are issues, but those issues don't need to affect the relationship so long as we're looking at what it is that's causing the problem so we can deal with the problem, And unfortunately, a lot of it, people try and deal with each other, and there's always an offense and defensive situation when you're trying to deal with each other, whereas if you look at the problem and continually ask questions to bring out the issue of the problem, then you can find a solution. But often, often there's just fights between people because they're trying to attack or defend a position rather than identifying that position and then looking to remove it. It's always like, whether you're in offense or defense, it's because there's a fence between you. And if you remove the fence, then you can operate in relationship, and I think the fences are the issues. Why are there fences between us? What are the things that have created a barrier or an obstacle or something between us that we can't overcome, and continue to ask questions to find out what it is. And it's a different approach to it, we found it quite interesting to continually just keep asking the questions until we found what the answer is. And where people are do find it difficult to share, it is really hard, you know. And we really had to deal with this because, you know, there were a number of issues that we were looking to deal with and resolve, and people just wouldn't share. And when we identified where this spirit was operating and the political spirit behind it was operating, then we brought it out into the light, and people had to, you know, own it, you know. And when they did, then we were able to overcome those things and move forward. But certainly challenging. It is challenging, you know, because we're so easy to take offense often, you know. Because if we give people permission to speak the truth to us in love, we have to do it in love. But if we give permission to do that, you know, then we also have to be willing to do that as well. You know, some people don't mind people telling them, but they're afraid to tell others. You know, and actually we need that. We need people to point at the blind self. You know, we do a lot of work with people in addictions, and there's a whole principle called the Jaharis window. And the Jaharis window has blind self, hidden self, revealed self in these parts of the window. And actually there we all have blind self. You know, and yes, we can go to God and we can ask God to give us revelation of that blind self. But often God wants us to be interdependent with other people and to humble ourselves and to actually ask for help, because that humility breaks the power of the things that we're hiding or can't see, you know. And we have to be willing to be more revealing of those things we do know, and challenge the fear that would hinder us at working those things, you know. Definitely.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your answers, because, you know, thinking of setting up a bench of three and working on things, you know that as you get closer that things will try to hinder, like you said. So, yeah, working on communication and allowing ourselves to be known, yeah, very important. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, when we set up our bench of three, you know, the two others even accepted the role, we went through 3 or 4 months worth of making sure we dealt with every relational issue, brought everything into the light, discussed things, shared our strengths and weaknesses, asked the other person about what they saw as strengths and weaknesses, just really went to town on it. Because I know anything that will cause enmity or strife or division will stop the authority, because authority is released through unity. So if you operate as a bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit are in total unity and also in total preferring one another. You know, the Father sends the Spirit and the Spirit points people to Jesus, and Jesus then points people to the Father, and it just goes round and round and round in total preference and honor. And, you know, for that to take place and for that sort of level of unity and agreement and harmony to take place, you've got to be willing to go to the depths of relationship to ensure that, and be willing to give each other total permission to be honest and open and to speak the truth. And I was, I sort of connected up with a group a while ago and just began to talk to them. Once a person invited me just to meet with them and start to talk, and they were establishing a bench of three. And just me talking to them and asking some questions and asking a few things that God just sort of put in my heart to ask just created a whole explosion of insecurity and fear and people's positions and, you know, it really did, you know. And I warned the guy before I went, and I said, look, you know, when you start to look to become a bench of three, you've got to be willing to actually look at why you're doing it. Is there a wrong motive in doing it? Make sure we're doing it from a place of humility, not looking for position, not looking for recognition, all the things that can spoil it, you know. And actually, you know, we've all had little bits of that operating, you know, if we're honest. You know, mm-hmm. And when we come into a place of intimacy and security in God, then those are the things that just fall away because we don't need them any longer. But we have got to be willing to go there. Otherwise, the enemy will. you know, and it's a challenge, you know, and a lot of people do want the authority in the position, but not necessarily willing to work through the relational things that enable that to be really functioning powerfully. And, you know, my encouragement is to, yeah, make sure that you're willing to be real and honest and have no no-go areas, really. And it, well, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I
appreciate that, yeah.
Okay. So, anything, anyone else want to ask anything?
Ladies, do you have anything? Anna, Denise?
I don't really have a question. I was thinking today that Colleen, Denise, and I got to ask questions on teaching topics last time. I was wondering if you had something, you know. We did trading floors and some other things last time.
Mm-hmm. I'm really easy, whatever you'd like to do. I know I'm here to serve, so you know, if you're sort of looking at benches of three and that type of thing and authority, one of the things to think about is mandates and you know, scrolls and authorization for those things. You know, I've done a lot recently around that with people, looking at, you know, how to make sure that they're invested with the authority from God to outwork that, and what is the specific mandate that comes with that authority, you know, because you're obviously spread all over the country, so it's not just a geographical issue for you. So, you know, what do you feel your mandate is? You know, is it a specific sphere? Is it in a people group? Is it, what is it? You know, what do you feel that mandate is? And how would you see that being outworked in what you can do together as a group?
That's actually, I didn't want to hog the whole show, but you just hit the nail on the head. I've been going to the court lately and getting a scroll every day. Papa's being rather redundant, and he's trying to strike a few points home with me. But the mandates and the scrolls are because of the bench of three coming, you know. I would like to know more about that. So I bet Colleen wouldn't mind either.
Yeah, personally in for that too. Yeah.
Sure, okay. Well, basically, everything that we are authorized to do comes in alignment with our destiny and with how God has shaped us to be and the things He's called us to. So, you know, if our sphere of kingdom influence within our own mountain has linked to it a particular sphere or particular people group, depending on really, you know, what people are called to, then when you come together, there will be a connection between those things. So you feel a unity of heart and you begin to feel drawn to the same outworking. And so there is a general sense, you know, I mean, I'm part of a local bench of three in the church. And we have our own, obviously, seven mountains. We also have ministries and outward expression of that in terms of our vision. I'm also involved in a local bench, just looking to establish that, and a regional one. And we've all got different perspectives and different spheres of influence. And in each of them, what we sought to do was to make sure we had a blueprint from God that gave us the direction in which we should outwork the administration of that rulership, of those thrones. How would we administer it? and over who and what has God give us an authority to administer it? Because we can only operate in the sphere that God's actually released. And so when it comes to, you know, that sort of mandate, then, you know, you need an authorization for that scroll, which the three of you come into agreement over. And what we did, we stepped in together, and we took this, received the scroll from the presence of God into our hearts, and then we went to the court initial court. We went to the Chancellor's court to get that authorized, and we each went before the Chancellor's bench, and we each had a part of the bigger picture. We saw different things that related to what God was showing us and the authorization we had, and then we saw those things sealed. And we had it sealed with the lion and the ox and the eagle, and they were sealed in different colors, and we saw the different colors reflecting the different gifts we are in the three. You know, for our bench of three here, in terms of redemptive gift, we have ruler, prophet, and teacher. In terms of, you know, ministry gifts, you know, it's mostly sort of an apostolic, prophetic gifting. And we began to see what was it God was calling us to do. Now then, each time we need to administer that, we would go back to maybe the court of strategy and the war court, and we would get specific strategies of how we would then align what God was calling us to do with how that would be outworked in practice, you know, on the earth. In real terms, now that's much easier to sort of get a handle on when you've got a physical location that you're working in. If it's not a physical location, then it would be a spiritual sphere of influence over something that God will show you. I mean, that's the key, is seeing what is it that you're shown that relates to that authority that then you can operate in. And then essentially we then went to the mountains that we were given, and the mountain that when you operate as a bench of three operates in the realm of the kingdom of heaven. It's a kingly function, and often, you know, in the realm of our own mountain, you know, we have scepter and crown and mantle. Often in the realm of kingship, you get given an orb, which represents lawmaking and bringing creatively things from your mandate and letting them loose. Whereas in our general sense of our own mountains, it's like we operate in lordship, and therefore we operate under the authority of the king, and therefore we are operating as he directs us. But when we start to mature and come into greater levels of authority, there's much more leeway for us to release things out of our own heart, because God entrusts us, because he's put the things in our heart for us to creatively release them. You know, and when we come to sonship, you know, and we're operating in the fullness of sonship, we get to do awesome things in the kingdom. You know, things that most of us have got no grid reference for yet. But we will be operating dimensionally and in different ways, which is a whole different dimension of authority and power that will be released to us. So, you know, I encourage people to, you know, to go before the presence of God, around the ark of his presence, to open their hearts for an impartation of the revelation of a mandate for being a bench of three. Then taking that mandate and authorization and getting scrolls that give a blueprint and show the different spheres or different mountains that you have authority to administer, you know, and then you can then get specific strategies, or you can go to the court of angels particularly and get angelic assignment. So there are particular sorts of angels, again, depending on what you're called to administer. Certain angels will be assigned to your mandate and your scroll, and then you can begin to administer those angels, sending them out, sending them on missions to do things in the atmosphere as you get wisdom and insight, particularly into strategy of what you need to do. Now, also associated with that is the Court of the Upright, and where men in white linen and the cloud of witnesses are also drawn to particular scrolls according to what is in there, what their destiny was and what mantles they carried. And sometimes you can receive a mantle from them, you know, that others have not yet picked up when there's an association with them. And for us, we had... I went to the Court of the Upright, and I saw 12 thrones there, and there were 12 men in white linen who were associated with our ministry. And then, you know, recently, actually this week, when our council of 12 were together and we were stepping into the heaven and we stepped in to do some things, I saw the cloud of those 12 appear and stand one behind each person, which was really interesting, and I was a bit sort of like, whoa, who's who? I mean, I recognized some of them physically, but some of them my spirit, you know, engaged with, and I realized who they were, you know. And then everyone was like, oh, who was behind me? Who was behind me? So I sort of said, well, look, I'll write it all out and tell you. And there's, so there's an engagement with them, because they also have insight and wisdom, and they trade into our ministries from what they see from their own destiny. Because a majority of them died without total fulfillment. And so they're looking to invest in another generation that will bring everything to a fulfillment so that Jesus can return ultimately. But so there is lots of connection there. You know, and you also get access when you're operating a bench of three to go to the Court of Kings. And you can... You sit there. You don't go before a bench. You sit at a bench, and you can bring scrolls from out of your spirit and out of that which is imparted there by God, and the desires of your heart get released into that to make things, you know, to make laws, to make decrees, to have things that are that kingship authority that then you then go and administer. And with that, we... have done things like, you know, I went to the Court of Kings. I was shown a lot of these things by wisdom, because I think wisdom, according to Proverbs 8, is there calling to the sons of men to come into alignment with their destiny so that they can rule. And it says, I think in verse 12, 13, around there in Proverbs 8, talks about wisdom. Helping kings rule and princes rule and nobles rule. So it's about bringing kingdom authority, and wisdom will give us insight and help us to understand the different protocols, and will take us to places to help us engage. You know, and there are so many other places, you know, within the mountain of God, because on wisdom's heights, you get the paths meet, you get doorways that can take you into the atmosphere of the earth, into under the earth, doorways that can take you into the stars and other places. And there's also a gateway which takes you into the city of God and onto the mountain of God, and therefore you can access the different rooms there. And sometimes you need to access things that are in alignment with what you've been called to do. You know, you may need to go to the treasury room, or the book room, or the wine room, or different places, the mantle room, the wardrobe room. There's all sorts of, and people call them different things because they have different names that they sort of had revelation of, but there are so many places. But all of those places really are there to enable us to outwork our destiny and to bring God's kingdom. You know, they're not really just there for, you know, for inquisitiveness or just a little bit of fun. They're serious things. You know, they're serious because, you know, we have a responsibility. And once we accept that responsibility of that mandate, then of course we're accountable before God for it. That's not a heavy thing. It just means that we need to be serious. You know, and I would not encourage anyone to engage in a bench of three level of authority without really knowing they're called and without really making sure that they've been invested. And often, you know, Jesus will invest you with authority in the mountains and the thrones that you have within the kingdom of heaven, and you get invested with authority there and enthroned there to outwork that authority. You know, I've personally done that in a place. I've gone to a place and helped people to get on those mountains and on those thrones. But it is a place where we must only operate out of mandates, and then we can keep going back, making sure that we've got all that we need to continue outworking what God's purpose is in what we do, and that will be continually getting strategy. You know, what we don't want to do is like make an assumption that, oh, I've been to this court, I've got the strategy now, that's it, all sorted. You know, it's an ongoing revelatory process in which more and more gets revealed. You know, and as we're faithful with little, He will be entrusting us with more, greater things. And so the key is to be faithful with the little things, administer those, and then He'll entrust us greater things to administer. You know, and ultimately we get to, you know, administer galaxies and all sorts of things in the age to come. You know, we're all training for that now, you know, and looking to see what is in heaven reflected on earth and see earth brought back into its original position, and to see the groan of creation answered from the sons of God, bringing the frequency of heaven and aligning things. You know, as the Spirit hovered over the water, you know, there was a vibrating frequency that brought things together, and God is calling us to release those frequencies from our spirits to engage. And we just learn to do it little by little and bit by bit as we grow into it. So that's sort of, you know, a gist of some of what you do, and you know, the key is to keep engaging and keep getting revelation of what God wants you to do. You know, and I often go back to wisdom and just look into her eyes and begin to see things. There's a heart that she has for us as God's children to establish us in the kingdom and to release that. And there's the seven spirits of God who are there to train and tutor us into those positions, because that's their whole role, is to help us establish the position of authority that we've been given in the kingdom. And so they will train us. And so you can go into the training hall, which is in the realm of heaven, and you can sign up, basically, with one of the seven spirits of God, or with all of them, one after the other, to engage with them and to ask them questions and to help enable them to speak into our lives and to help us with the whole thing of authority. You know, and I think there's the key in that. You know, I sort of have a list of the things that they do, and you know, it's on the Facebook page. But you know, a lot of it is all about mandating us for position, you know, and equipping us for position and authorizing us for position. And that position is the mountain of authority that we've been given personally. And then if we're operating in a bench of three sphere, that higher level of authority, and that we still need tutoring in to enable us to outwork it. If that makes any sense. If you want to share anything, just unmute yourselves, and I can unmute you if you want. So, yeah,
I can see. For me, definitely, it's going to take a bit more outworking of that to get more comfortable and at home with the whole process of mandates and what to do with them, where to go.
One of those exercises that we can do. You know, we can just take some steps. You know, I've taken a lot of people recently into those things just to begin to explore how you receive it and how you feel when it comes and what you do with it, basically. But we can do that if it, in a minute, if you like.
Is that okay with you, Anna?
I'm game. How about you, Denise? He's quiet.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look to engage in that. I think. I think last time we went on a little bit of a journey into Eden and around the things there. That pathway always feeds into this one because it comes out of relationship. So we always rule out of relationship, not for relationship. It's a key place of understanding and revelation. So again, I just encourage you just to close your eyes and begin to just still your spirit and just let your spirit begin to expand and connect. You are under an open heaven. You have access to go up into the realm of heaven through the steps that are there, the ladder, if you like, that can connect us with heaven. And I just encourage you just to let your spirit just take those steps into the realm of heaven. And as you step through the veil into that dimension, just begin to let your spirit sense the expanse, the openness, the freedom, the liberty that there is in that place. Breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Just breathe it in. Just sense the life that there's there. Everything is living and active. Just sense it. That Jesus is there in that doorway, in the threshold, waiting for you. And he will take you by the hand. Just sense his presence. Sense the pleasure that he feels, the joy that he feels with you coming into the place that belongs to you, that you have access to, the invitation to come. He longs for people to come, and he's joyed with your presence there. Let him take you by the hand, and he will just then take you through the different veils that are between the different realms of the kingdom. And as you go through, sometimes it feels like going through a portal, through different colors, through a different matrix. And as you just surrender yourself as a living sacrifice so that you will be able to outwork his will and purpose for you, just sense him taking you through the veil of the way and through the veil of the truth. And just allow your spirit just to perceive or sense the different feelings that there are within the realm of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus just takes you through that final veil into the ark of his presence, into the tabernacle. And right now, as you're around the ark, the blood of Jesus is there as a continual guarantee of your access. As you come around his presence, you come around the names of God. Just begin to think about him. Just fix your eyes on him. Begin to meditate around his presence, the four faces of God, his name. Just think of his name, the Yod, He, Vav, He. Begin to look into him. Begin to open up your hearts to receive what he will release for you. Thank you. Just allow that to come around you, surround you, fill you. And just open up your hearts and receive a mandate as he releases to you, as he unveils it to your heart, as he reveals something of his will for you. Just allow your spirit, allow your heart to receive it from him. Allow, as you look in to his presence, the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man, you look into his presence. The mandate is to enable you to see what the Father's doing in alignment with your destiny and purpose. The desires of your heart will be touched at a deep level. Now just allow Jesus to take you by the hand again as he leads you through the doorway. It would take you to the court of chancellors. And as you go before the chancellors, before their bench, open up your heart and release your mandate before them. As they have a scroll, just begin to allow your spirit to engage with what's going on there. You may feel or sense some of the cloud of witnesses. They love to gather around the court of chancellors when scrolls are being released. Just allow your spirit to engage. Just let Jesus again take you by the hand and just let him lead you again through the doorway which will take you into the realm of the kingdom of God, to the court of angels. And as you stand before the legions of angels, just release the scroll and the mandate that you have. Release it to them. See those that are drawn and assigned. As I'm just observing, I can just see some of the seraphim, the burning ones, are being drawn. As you carry a mandate for fire and transformation, Again, just let Jesus take you by the hand and lead you out through the doorway. He would take you to your mountain. On your mountain, there's a throne. He encourages you to take your place of position. The angel assigned to your throne is behind for you to engage with. Jesus is before. He takes the crown and places it on your head as a sign of the authorization to rule. He places the mantle on your shoulders, sense its color, sense the color of the gems that are within the crown, and he gives you a scepter. Also, you may feel, see, sense the color of the scepter, the jewel that's often on top. These are the symbols that represent your authority. Feel the authority rise within you as your spirit begins to expand and grow in your identity that he's released to you as he invests you with authority to establish the kingdom. Now, as those angels were drawn, you may feel you need to release them, send them to go before you to prepare the way, to make connections. You may feel you want to send them into the atmosphere of the earth to clear the way over you and over your spheres. Just let your spirit begin to rise up in administrative function to begin to decree or to declare, to call forth, to bind, to loose, to move mountains, to creatively call those things that be not as if they were, according to the mandate and the scroll that you've been given. Just sense the authority that you have. Begin to look through into the realm of the earth and begin to see things from your perspective of your throne. There are often mountains below that you can see. You may perceive what those mountains are, the names, the spheres that they represent. If you can observe or sense what's there, sometimes there are things that have to be removed, creatures, structures. Just begin to sense and see if you can connect up there. Because what you see, what you do, you come from a place of greater authority to administer. Now just begin to step back through the veils, back into this realm, carrying with you the authorization and the authority that you have in heaven to be outworked through your life on the earth, carrying with you a greater sense of authority, of identity in your lordship. As you step back, you can expect the desires of your heart to lead you and to draw you. You can expect your spirit to be active in outworking that which it's received. You may clearly see, feel, and perceive those things. You may just have engaged, and your spirit is yet to catch up, and those things will be released over the coming days and weeks. But just in confidence, see yourself as a gateway of heaven, as you've been lifted up as a head. Okay. Well, you may want to, if you want to share anything, feel free. If you just want to ponder on what you've experienced, that's fine. Often these are just doorway experiences to help you, you know, engage. And then you can go back into it and get a fuller revelation of those things. And sometimes the things we experience there begin to shape us and draw us, even though we don't necessarily see it all. But our spirit will have engaged, and our heart has been touched, and that's really where things begin to outwork. And the more time you spend there, the more time you go there, the greater that dimension will be in outworking.
I just have to run off to work, so I'm just going to share quickly that I still, like, I just sense, but I was certainly sensing little things, you know. I could see someone writing at the chancellor's bench, and certainly feel the presence of in the court of angels, and it's still pretty dark, but it's, you know, it's there.
Yeah, and to be honest, it doesn't matter if it's dark, because actually you're receiving in your spirit. And that's what really matters. It's the spiritual perception that you're receiving from engaging that counts. And you'll find that it will begin to transform and change things.
So. Okay. Thank you. Bye, ladies. Bye, Mike.
You're
welcome. See you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Feel free to share something or not. That's fine. If you feel you just want to ponder on it. Okay.
Well, after I went to the, you know, I stood before the chancellors and I got a scroll, but I couldn't read. I could see the letters vaguely, but not clearly. But I took the scroll into the court of angels, and this angel met me, and it was like fire. It was this fire and lightning. That's all. I've never seen an angel like that before. And, this angel, like the palms of my hands were on fire, and you said that some were getting fire at that same time that I was experiencing that in the court of angels. So that was pretty cool.
Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, good. Thanks. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, fine. Do you want to share anything, Anna?
I need to process. Just volumes of things happen. Just too much for one time. I need to go back. I need to journal.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. Go back, enter in again, use it as a doorway to go back into those experiences, and then you get further revelation or flow from it. You know, I skip through it fairly quickly because obviously we haven't got that much time. You know, I would encourage people to spend as much time as they need in each place and to fully absorb everything that's there and engaging with the, you know, around the presence of God and begin to look in to see what he's doing. And that's the key. That's what Jesus did every day. You know, he saw what the Father's doing. That authorized him with a mandate that enabled him then to outwork that through his life as God worked through him. So, yeah, it's always good to go back and do that. Okay.